Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day and for life and health and strength. Pray that your hand upon us as we take this time around your work. Pray for Norma and for Stephen, perhaps, for John, for Frank, and of course for Colin, for Christine and Mary Ann as well, Lord. For all those that are gathered together to worship and praise you, Lord, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us and just give us exactly what it is we need. Thank you for all of your many helps, for saving us, and for keeping us, Lord, and for ministering to us. And we ask all these things, Lord, and thank you for them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a few hymns this Mother's Day morning, so happy Mother's Day then. out of the big hymn book this morning. Like to take a turn there. We're going to begin with hymn number 105. That is one we haven't sung for a while, but it's all that fills my soul.
Thank you.
If you want to scoot away over towards the back of the hymn book to 372, if you're fit, stand as we sing, let the lower lights be burning. Next step in his future sorted out regarding work and, of course, his upcoming visit to friends and family over in China. And don't forget, Pat and Steve seem to be having a difficult time at this particular time. Please do pray for them as well. And please remember John and Carol and Steve. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, there are a few verses in this. But they're all good. They're not my words. They're in red in the Bible. They're God's words, and I hope they will be a help to you. And seeing the multitudes, he, that's Jesus, of course, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, you have heard that it hath been said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Thank you for your patience and your good time on that. Fairly substantial reading for a Sunday morning. And we're going to have just want to remind you all about the little beige-coloured prayer lists. Please make sure you get one. And please do make mention in your private prayer time and even in church, please make sure and make mention of those that the Lord brings to your remembrance. Just want to remind you all about, well, we've already mentioned a lot of folks, but not this week. Unfortunately, I'm a bit out of action. I would ask that you would pray for my back, because it has really given me a lot of pain at this very moment in time. Please remember all the people that we've mentioned already. Easter Sunday, which is in about 3 weeks' time, please do remember that we're having what we call an all-day service, but it's really an all-morning and a little bit of the afternoon service with lunch in between. Please do remember that for Easter Sunday. Please pray for a man called Shaz that we had an opportunity to speak to in Brigade a fortnight ago. And please do continue to pray for the people in Israel. Whether you like them or not, the Jews are God's people. We are commanded to pray for them, and we are commanded to say good things about them, because the Lord has said, if you bless the Jews, that he will bless you. So please do remember that. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes, indeed. As you know, Ed Bishop received cancer surgery there about a month ago.
Excuse me.
He has been receiving, or he has been supposed to be receiving, a chemotherapy, basically the BCG, the old TB vaccination, in his bladder to kill whatever cancer cells may have been left. He has missed a couple because of a bladder infection, which was one of the things they were concerned about. So we would appreciate if you would pray for Ed Bishop and his family and the church up there in Temple Patrick. Are there any other prayer requests, anything that anybody would like any added voices in the Lord's ear? Private prayer requests? Okay. All right. Don't forget our absent brethren. Not very often we're like this of a Sunday morning, and I don't miss this at all. But please do remember all of those prayer requests. And by that I mean you will, because I'm going to have you, if you wouldn't mind leading us in a wee word of prayer.
Father, thank you this day, Lord, for the presence of your house. This is truly, Lord. Welcome, on, Lord. This is a blessing, Lord. May we bring us through your spirit, Lord, commune more in tune with thee, Lord, and draw us through this work of thee, well, Lord. With absent Brown, wherever they may be, Lord, with Frank, give safe and secure. Transit, Lord, and bear from us, Lucy Tan. Bear from a blessing of this new job, Lord. God, close your walk, please, Lord. Good calm, where it is, Lord, for my trouble. Put some sense in his head, Lord. Protect me, guide him, and draw him closer walk with thee, and Lord, bring closer with thee as well, and my son, Lord. Group, save Stephen Call, John, by John, by the church tonight, Lord. And save them by night, part of it as well, Lord. Also, group, John and Catherine, Lord, bring back to church, keep safe well as they come back from Amsterdam. Keep safe well, Lord. Save their souls by night, part of it, open them out for the lesson, which is through you, Lord. Also, group, Pat and Steve, Lord. Give her respite and give her strength, Lord. Also, with Stephen's dialysis, help mighten the path, Lord, as well, Lord. Also, with Norman, wherever he is, Lord, if he's sick, Lord, you might heal him, mighten the path, Lord, and bring him to church as well. Also, with Mark, Lord, helping his back with my pain, this tough, Lord, and stays mind safely, securely on thy word, Lord. And may we say a blessing, Lord, you may give a blessing through the sermon this morning, Lord. And Lord, may it be a blessing with us this morning in the church, Lord, also to those that are listening on the internet as well, Lord, on the CDs or DVDs, Lord, as well, Lord. Grace and gifts, Lord, stay our mind more than Lord, just touch the Spirit, Lord, and help us mightily and powerfully for our honor, for our good, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's take our hymn books again, if you would. And if you would like to take and turn to C. Hymn number 65 in the big books. That is just over in glory land. Hymn number 65.
Home prepared when the saints abide.
good to hear those old ones. We're in the wee black book, and we're going to sing Psalm 23, actually number 5, the Lord's my shepherd, I am not want, and then we will open our Bibles. Hymn number 5 in the wee black book, the Lord's my shepherd. Amen. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Speaking on the subject of for our good. And this is pretty much what the whole of the Bible is for. It is for our good. And I know sometimes it doesn't give us the best of news. We will see that as we read Jeremiah, and we could quite easily apply that to our spiritual and indeed our real and physical position that we all sit in the world today. But the Bible is there to help us, and not just to help us out of a jam here and now, but to help us whenever we come into judgment by God. And so whenever I saw these three words at the end of verse number 5, that just spoke to me. It was like one little candle shining in the night in the midst of verses that are full of judgment and condemnation of well, bad behavior. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. There are only 10 verses, and we're going to read them all. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, and the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil fig, and the evil, very evil, that it cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not cut them off. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Amen. Verse number 5, the last three words in it, is the title for our message this morning, and it's all about for our good. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, please be our helper, our guide, and our advisor as we take this time reading your word and thinking about the things and the principles and the doctrines that it brings. We really do need you, Lord, especially as the days get darker and darker. We hope and we pray, Lord, that you would look after each and every one of our brethren, especially those that aren't here today, that you would lift them up, Lord, that you would restore them to walking with you, whatever it is that they need this day. But more than that, Lord, that you would be one of our number as well. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. And we ask all this, Father, please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. As we, again, have another message from the book of Jeremiah, again, I'm going to remind you that one of the nicknames of Jeremiah was the Weeping Prophet. It was one of the signs of his abiding is great compassion for God's people to see them saved, and was one of the reasons why the Lord was called the prophet Jeremiah, or is referred to as one of the prophets, whenever he asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of God, am? Because the Lord had a great compassion for his people. What I remember a little verse that said that he just wanted to gather them to himself as a hen gathers her chicks underneath her. Even to the cost of his life, which was under threat many times, Jeremiah preached the word that the Lord gave to him. He wasn't popular amongst the children of Israel, especially whenever he was telling them, God is not happy with the way you're behaving. You have stopped going to church. You have raised up altars to other gods. All the things that the peoples around and about used to do and were defeated because of their doings, the children of Israel now did. And one of the reasons that people don't like, and especially these backslidden or indeed anti-Christian people of the children of Israel, didn't like the word of God speaking, because even though Jeremiah didn't have the Bible in front of him, he had the word of God in his heart, but he had the power and authority of God behind him. And it convicted the people in droves. It just made them feel bad. Now, in this little bit of the Bible, Jeremiah again reminds the people that Nebuchadrezzar, is going to come and carry away the children of Israel. He is going to take the best of the land. And Jeremiah says, you would be best to go, because this is God's will. This is God's chastening for your rebellion, for your disobedience. And it's going to take a length of time, 70 years. So go and make your homes there, give in marriage and take in marriage there, but it is going to happen. So one of the things in our ongoing messages of a Sunday morning is about Christian doctrines. And this particular one is probably one of the simplest and most straightforward Old Testament parables. And it begins with a parable. Of course, we know that the parables were given to us, especially in the Lord's day, 2,000 years ago, so that we could come to grips with the way things work in the world, with the judgment, with who'll be saved and who won't be saved, and how much God loves us, and even to how we are supposed to behave as the God, as the Lord's children. But this begins with the parable, and it's a parable of two baskets of figs. One is like the freshest of good figs, and the other is one that is rotten, that even would turn your stomach even to consider it. And as we read on in this portion of God's word, the Lord has likened all of the people that refuse to listen to his word to the basket of rotten figs, of very naughty figs, the Bible said. I have this little image of all the figs jumping up and down in the basket, saying bad language, or pulling the other one's hair, or poking it with their finger, and nipping them, and kicking them, and one thing and another, and that's not what it is, but I just have this image of naughty figs, very naughty figs. You see, God said, because you as a nation have disobeyed me, I am going to take your nation away for 70 years, and the land will have the Sabbaths that it should have had in all of that time. And he said, don't listen. No matter who says anything else, this is going to happen. I was reading on there a chapter or two, and there was one of the prophets that took the yoke, that Jeremiah had a yoke put about his neck, which was to signify the yoke that was going to be put on the children of Israel's neck. And one of the priests of the religion of the day came and broke the wooden yoke and said, within 2 years, everything that Nebuchadnezzar took will return. And Jeremiah went his way, and God spoke to him and said, this is what you need to say to that priest. You have broken a yoke of wood, but I will make it a yoke of iron. And more than that, before the year's out, you'll be dead, he said to the prophet. And sure enough, in the 7th month of the year, the prophet died. The good figs, of course, were those that would listen to God and go peaceably with Nebuchadnezzar whenever he landed. This is what the Lord was going to do, simply because as a nation, they rejected God's counsel and his prophets, but as individuals, they could be saved. And even though there were many people of the children of Israel that loved God and sought after God, the actions of everybody else dragged them down. This was the only way through. This was a big thing, because the children of Israel, their claim to fame was that they were the children of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were their fathers, and God created them and set them aside very especially. But I remember speaking to a man one time, and I said, God will always use a Christian's example for good whenever they do well and are blessed, and for evil whenever they reject God's counsel and they are cursed, because the Lord will turn and do hurt to those that reject his counsel here and now for us Christians in eternity for those that reject him. And I know it is hard to see and hard to understand all the difficult times that were coming their way, but God said, this will be for the benefit of the people. This will be for their good. As we read verse 5, I don't know if you remember the Chaldeans. They were supposed to be a very severe people. They were pagan worshippers. They were basically nut jobs, I think, and any time if you ever went against the Chaldeans, it was supposed to be like a bad omen for you. You were going to have a difficult battle. And this was to be for the good of the children of Israel. I got to wondering, how does it get to be for the good of the children of Israel? Country was about to be defeated in the siege. All that they knew was going to be shown to be ineffective. They would have to leave everything they called home behind. And the reason for that is because all of the things that they were up to were not good. And all the things that they had continued to do were taking them further and further away from God. So they were going to be taken as slaves. They would have to leave, I suppose, if you want to bring it to a more up-to-date description, they would have to leave their nightclubs, and they would have to leave their off-licenses, and they would have to leave their drug den, and they would have to leave their whorehouses, and they would have to go to a place that had none of those things for them, where they would be considered the lowest of the low, and they would be there for effectively 2 generations, 70 years. Now, I know that we have many things. I have lots of things in my house. Most of them's in the barn, although some of them's in my office at the moment. Computer stuff, and I've even got some models and tools for the stuff that we did in the church, and axes and timber and stuff like that. And I want to tell you something. I would be made less if I had to leave those things behind. But if I had to leave those things behind, then the amount of time and effort that I have would be more important to me. And of course, just like any good Christian, that the space that I have left my life would be happily filled with Bible study and with prayer and calling out to God and telling him, Lord, I am sorry, and Lord, what must I do to make things right, first of all, in my life? But the truth of the matter was that the children of Israel were already slaves. They were already under the thumb of whatever pagan leadership was filtering down from the king to the priests to down below, and they were at the mercy of the false religions that God had commanded them to utterly destroy years ago. They were about to learn what it was like to be under the thumb of a leader that was not as merciful as the God that delivered them from so many things. And the sad thing about it is, it was going to take a while. It was not just like getting a cup of cold water thrown about at you in bed, and all of a sudden you're raised from a day's slumber to a bright-eyed, wide-awakenedness. This was going to have to be a deep down in the character change. It was going to take some time. They were going to have to be humble. And then they were going to have to learn to be humble. Because they were so full of their own ideas, and they were so full of pagan ideas, that any thought of God was far from them. Now we know, because we have the Bible, and we can look at the books of Daniel and Ezekiel, Daniel especially, we can read about the life of a man, Daniel, of Hananiah, of Azariah, and Mishael, that the children of Israel did flourish under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar when their hearts were turned to God, even in this pagan land. We know about the great miracles that were done through Daniel and his three brethren. And we also know, as we read Ezra and Nehemiah, that 70 years later, Jerusalem, the command to rebuild Jerusalem was given, and the people went back. There were souls in Babylon that cared deeply about the children of Israel's homeland. And they looked for God, and they repented of God, and they sought him out with tears and heavy hearts. And we know that such was the effect of God in that country. I do believe, hand and heart, that Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Sadly, it was too late for his son, Belteshazzar or Belshazzar. And we also know that Darius of the Medes and the Persians was so influenced by Daniel and by the Christian outreach, if you like, that eventually the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem by him. And the Bible says 483 years later, Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the back of a donkey, on an ass, the foal of an ass. And I am sure life was tough. But do you know what happens when life gets tough? We consider the things that are important. I have always maintained painting and building models as a hobby, and it's surprising the number of times the tools and the materials have come in handy, even in the church. Would you believe the little windowsills here? These were actually sealed with modeling glue that I had. A very special type of polystyrene cement, amongst other things. But whenever the going gets tough, in the words of the song, the tough get going. We concentrate on those things that we need. What did the Lord say? Remember the things that are important, your food and your clothing. That's all the Lord said that we need. And yet we have houses and transport and many, many different sets of clothing. We have more food most times than we can shake a stick at, even whenever we're in the midst of this famine that we are experiencing, and that is going to get more and more difficult. We start to consider our lives might be forfeit whenever the going gets tough. And what is it they say about a disaster makes good Christians out of everybody? People start calling out to God. And so we draw closer to God because we realize that our lives could be forfeit, and that we might have to be dealing with God in eternity, and far better to meet him as a friend than as a judge. This is the way God wants us, not in fear for our lives, but walking and talking with him and learning what he wants for us. And God has never wanted evil for us. But God has always resisted the proud. God has always opposed those that set themselves up. But even from the very beginning, it has always been in our best interest to be gainfully employed. Whether that is at a job or on a project that we are doing. Because in Genesis chapter 3, a thing that the Lord said to Adam always stuck in my mind. And he said in Genesis 3:17 to Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." We need to be busy about a higher purpose, a noble purpose, whether that's feeding your family, or whether that's for the benefit of the country, for the preaching of the cross, whatever it is, we need to be busy about a noble cause. It is always better for us whenever we do something, whenever we accomplish something. That is how we have this feeling of joy in our lives, of happiness, sorry, in our lives, whenever we do something and we are satisfied with our work. In fact, the Lord said, especially for Christian workers, for everybody, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I can understand that, because we do need a break from time to time. But this is what the Lord said: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." And that's what we really need, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Spiritually, mentally, and physically, the best religion in the world is Christianity. That pure religion and undefiled, that faith, where the hard work, the impossible work of salvation is already done by God, but there's still enough in this Christian life to focus our minds and settle our hearts and provide a purpose and a direction, project work for us, enough to satisfy us and encourage each one of us. I know people are not that keen on hearing that there is a little bit of effort required in our Christian lives. But it always reminds me of the first time that I got a colour TV. Not me personally, but my dad, our family, got a colour TV. Does anyone remember what it was like to watch black and white TV? Yeah? It was great because we didn't know any better. And we enjoyed Bill and Ben, the Flower Pot Men, and the Sage Garden, and all the herbs, and so on and so forth. And even the BBC News, and the test card transmission, all in black and white. And we loved it until someone brought colour TV in. And that is the difference that being saved makes to your life. It's like the colour gets added to your life. It's like the flavour gets added to your life. It's like this, like a crisp morning where everything seems so alive gets added to your life. The birds singing sound sweeter. Even the insects is just a proof of God's creation. And that is the difference between being saved and lost. And it's the same with the Christian life. Not the Christian salvation. That's free forever and sure, and God keeps you in the palm of his hand and will provide it for us on the day that our lives here are over. But our Christian lives, how we walk with God in this life, that's up to us. But it's the same with any skill. It's the same with our strength. By working at it, by practicing at it, we get better at it. If you want to build your strength and your stamina, and you lift heavier weights, or you go longer, and you get stronger. If you want to increase your knowledge of anything, but specifically God's Word, because we're in church, you commit more verses to memory. You read more of the Bible. You talk to the author. You speak to God in prayer. And you get better in prayer by talking. I always think of the little children. Whenever we had them, before they grew up, they always were a little bit distant from adults because no one had ever taught them how to interact. By shaking hands, by walking up to an adult and saying good morning and shaking hands and asking how they were doing. How are we supposed to know these things unless we are shown? But the more that you speak to people, the more that you learn about people, the more that you can maybe help people, whether it's your own elbow grease or just by a word of encouragement. When it comes to knowing about God's Word, we get better at it by reading it and memorizing it, by asking questions. And it might seem difficult at a time, whenever you start. I recall a time whenever I just started in Bethel, and I could not believe the number of verses that the pastor knew. And he was able to speak without reading them from the Bible. And I thought, that is amazing. And yet, here I am, 28 years, my goodness, later. Because the Bible has been such a big part of my life, and I have spent time memorizing verses, they are part of my thoughts and of my everyday life, and it is not a trouble to use them. And the great thing about them, not only do they have power and authority in the ears of those that hear them, but in my own life. There was a time whenever Monica wasn't well, was it a year or two back? She got COVID or something like that and couldn't taste things. And seemed to have a difficult time. I insisted, pardon? I insisted on her eating. And not lying around, but doing a little bit of exercise. I'm not talking about push-ups and sit-ups. I was getting up and walking about and coming downstairs for dinner and things like that. And then after I came out of hospital and then after Monica got better, I insisted on going for a walk one morning, both of us together. And then maybe doing a few light exercises. And I remember I have to keep something big between my wife and I. Monica has said that it was very difficult at the start to quit the coffee, to do the exercises. But now she is gaining the benefit of all of those things. Because, to quote her, she said, even my bad days now are better than my good days of years ago. And that is the point that I want to make. Yes, it is up to us how far we go with God. And sometimes, yes, it may be beyond us to be like some of the great preachers or some of the great Christian missionaries or whatever. You will only ever be a second-rate somebody else, but you can always be a first-rate you, and you can always be a first-rate Christian. I would hate for any of us to come to the point in our lives when God has to put his hand on our shoulders and say, look, you have messed up so badly that I am going to take you home. I don't want that for anybody. The reason we have all of these things here is to see that God is a loving Father, but he's not the Father that spoils his children rotten and says, oh, just do whatever you like, everything will work out. He says, these are the things you're allowed to do, and everything else you're not allowed to do, so do these things, and everything will be grand. But if you don't do these things, I am going to have to come and deal with you. And I don't want that. It would be for our good, because those are the things that God has set in front of us are for our life. They're to keep us away from things that will shorten our life or ruin our minds and body. All of these things, the whole preaching of the cross, the good examples and the bad in the Bible, and the times that God puts his hand directly into your life are for our good. We have souls that will live forever, and God wants them in heaven with him. And that's what all of this is for. And an example to those that say no to God, that not only is God a God of eternity and forever and ever, but God is a God of right now. And he will help whosoever will right now. I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much for your good time and attention. I do appreciate it. God bless you. I think we have a closing hymn, if I can just find it here. Hymn number 97 in the big book. Hymn number 97 in the big book. I need thee every hour. Let's take and turn there, and if you're able, stand as we sing. Number 97, I need thee every hour. Thank you, Lord, for the time around your word, for the freedom that we still have to meet together and to lift up your praises. Please, Lord, watch over us and keep us and help us. And, Lord, we love you and thank you. Please see us safely home. Please, Lord, I pray the same for all those that are out worshiping and praising at your house this morning. Please see safely home, edified, instructed, strengthened, comforted. Lord, even straightened up. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. Please forgive us and refresh us as we leave the premises, Lord. And help us always, Lord, to be a good help to people. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Please do shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.